Welcome to What the Fantasy, episode 26. And I'm glad to welcome Shane Barrett at FFF, at FF Shane B here. Shane, thanks for joining.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. I'm excited. You DM'd me Monday, I think it was, or yesterday, and asked, are you still good to come on tomorrow? And I was like, oh, crap.
That was kind of my bad. I probably should have reminded you a little earlier, but I'm glad you still could have come on.
It's okay. It worked out because usually my schedule is just Monday and Tuesday. So we're good, and I'm happy to be here.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. So before we get started, just go ahead and plug, you know, anything that you're working on or that you want to let the people hear about.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the host of the Fantasy Nightcap podcast. You can get that on pretty much any streaming platform that you listen to podcasts on. I've worked really hard on that. And then my other show is my YouTube show. Just had a recent name change to The Sit Down with Shane. And that's just a live show where I interview people in the fantasy football community, kind of figure out how they got started, et cetera. So just kind of opening doors and connecting people through that show. And then the last thing I love to plug is my charity fantasy football tournament. It is a tournament to end Alzheimer's called Polly's Playoff, and it is annual. The registration is open already for year three. And if you want to play and register, it is the pinned tweet on my account. It's a super flex tiered PPR tournament, and I'm still deciding if I'm going to throw a couple curveballs in this year or not.
Well, that sounds cool. I'll have to check that out. I did see that, but I didn't know what it was all about. So that's cool. So, So whenever I have a guest on, and usually ask him, you know, same question. So who is your favorite NFL team? I saw on the show sheet you said that was a fun question. So go right ahead.
This is a fun question. I usually get a lot of flack from this. So currently I have three favorite teams. It's the Browns, the Packers, and the Cowboys. But I am a Browns fan because of Baker Mayfield, who's gotten the short end of the stick here, to say the least. So wherever Baker ends up is what will probably end up being my third favorite team, but will also end up, I might just end up being a fan of them. Because the way I've kind of justified it now, or categorized it now, that the Packers and the Cowboys are my family's favorite teams. So my mom's side of the family is from Kenosha, Wisconsin. They're all Packers fans, literally from the oldest one to the youngest one. And then the Cowboys are my dad and his dad's team. So I've always kind of cheered for them because me and my dad were really close. So,
well, that makes sense. So first follow-up question.
Okay.
What is it with Baker?
Like, why is he my favorite player?
Yeah.
I fell in love with him his senior year at Oklahoma. Just the way that he played with a chip on his shoulder. He was always fiery and passionate on the field. Some of it may not have been appropriate, like, you know, the crotch grab and the FU at Kansas, or the planting of the flag at Ohio State. But I just love the energy and passion that he plays the game with. And because he's undersized for the quarterback, I kind of related to him because I'm undersized when I play basketball. So I try to play with that same fire and passion when I'm playing basketball. So I related to Baker and kind of fell in love with him. So sticking with him.
So I guess the crotch grab, you know, I remember that in Unicamp, but the whole plant, you know, planting the flag on Ohio State's field, I was all for that. As you can see, I'm wearing a Michigan shirt and Michigan stuff in the background. I was all for that. The only thing I didn't like is that he eventually, like, apologized for it. I think if he did it, I did it. You know, it's not like people don't do that. But anyway, so this probably goes more to the free agency talk. But since we're talking about Baker, I want to dive in, like, real quick before we get into some of the other stuff. So it's interesting. I do think – so I'm a kind of a mixed bag on Baker. Before last year, I was on the uptick of Baker. I thought he could be, like, you know, at least fantasy-wise, you know, a QB1, like maybe, like, you know, 8 to 12 or something like that. Okay. And, you know, this season wasn't all his fault. I get that. Injuries, everything happened. But even with injuries, just some of the decisions he made this past year, I know part of that might have been the injuries. But I kind of changed my tune on him a little bit. He's still, like, a solid starter.
Yeah.
But more like the quarterback two, maybe like 14 to 19, you know, that kind of yeah. stretch. I think some of the things that makes him like really good, like you said, like how he has that chip on his shoulder, how he always likes that underdog role. Yeah. I think it's killing him right now just because he plays like he lets his emotions like get the best of him.
Yeah.
And because that's why I was scared when the Browns made the playoffs. Cause let me say this too. I'm actually a Jags and a Browns fan. So, for most of my life, it's been bad. So, but no one can call me a bandwagon fan.
No.
So that's why I was worried about when they made the playoffs and there was all that hype, because I was like, Baker does the best when, you know, you're counting him out.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, so all that, and I didn't see this coming. I thought they were going to roll with Baker one more year.
I did too.
And I did not see this Deshaun Watson thing coming. So, you know, it's happened. I just wonder, where is Baker going to end up now? Because it kind of seems like,
you know, I really don't know.
The teams aren't willing to do it right now. And we'll get into more of this in free agency. But I just wanted to get your opinion on Baker and where you think he can, like, really – can he – I mean, I don't think he's done, but he might have to do maybe a Jameis-type thing where you're a backup and then kind of get your role later.
Yeah, I think it was Dan Orlovsky today tweeted that it would make a lot of sense for Baker to go to Tampa and back up Brady for a year and then hit free agency in 2023. And that made a lot of sense to me too. I still think Seattle's an option right now. But I think the other thing too is the Browns have zero leverage. So teams aren't coming calling because they know the Browns might have to cut him, and then they can get Baker much cheaper than a draft pick. So I think that's part of it that's baked into it. I really wanted him to go to the Colts. I really felt like that was a great, great fit for him. Now, if he doesn't get cut or traded, I think what might happen is the Browns hold on to him. Maybe he plays out the first six games because Watson's suspended, and then they trade him to somebody who does get an injured quarterback or something like that. But I really like, from a landing spots that are left, I would love Carolina or Seattle. Carolina, I think, said today they weren't pursuing him. But again, I think there's some gamesmanship going on by the other teams saying they don't want him because they're just waiting for the Browns to cut him.
Yeah. Speaking of the Panthers, I don't know if you saw that tweet out there that like someone put it out there that both sides are disinterested in the other. And I was like, I've never heard of such, you know, a thing. Like, why would you even why would you even put that out there? But anyway, yeah. I agree. I think, you know, the way that this worked out, I know that the Browns had to go all in for Watson if they really wanted him, but I think they are, you know, either they're going to keep him or they need to cut him. But one place I would think might be a good spot for him, and it would make a little sense for me, is if he gets cut and he would go to the Giants, and maybe him and Daniel Jones, or even if he had to sit behind Daniel Jones early on, then he gets a shot. He's still young enough. He could be their franchise quarterback.
He could beat Daniel Jones, if you ask me.
Yes, he could. Yes, yes. He definitely could. I'm not saying Daniel Jones is good, but no, just in case, you know, they want to actually see Daniel Jones, I could see that. I thought the Baker Indy thing, I thought that would work out. But once I kind of heard Baker say, you know, that he wanted to go to Indy, I was like, this is probably not going to happen, because usually they had no leverage in everything. And –
so one place that I've heard, or at least seen on Twitter, if he does get cut, it almost screams Baker to me, and it's the Steelers.
It'd be perfect for him, because you know how he loves to, you know, stick it.
He would love to go stick it to the Browns twice a year. So that's one. And I think I was talking with Michelle Majuk in our DMs, and she said that she would love to have Baker as their quarterback right now. And I said, I would be fine with it as long as you guys fix the offensive line. If the Steelers can fix their offensive line and protect Baker, everything else is already there for him, and that it'd be perfect.
Yeah, and I think he actually fits like what Pittsburgh loves. You know, like the toughness, that kind of guy that like always is going to push the envelope and everything.
Yep.
You know, I think the wide receivers they have. All right, this is my opinion on Baker. The reason that it didn't work with OBJ. OBJ is the type of guy where like Eli Manning in his career, you just throw it up to him.
Yeah.
Like that's not what Baker does. Baker's on timing. Like that's why he's so good with Jarvis Landry.
Well,
because he needs to know where someone's going to be. He doesn't like to force the ball in places.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
Steelers have wide receivers that can do that. I think, you know, Deontay Johnson's a great route runner. I think that could work. If he gets cut, you know, I don't know how the Steelers feel about that, but if he gets cut, I could totally see him going there. That's a really good point.
Yeah. And to your point about like why he didn't work with OBJ, like the Browns offense was a timing offense, like you said. You're supposed to be in your spot at that time, and if you're there and open, quarterback's going to get it to you. But then OBJ's dad made that video or whatever where he was always open. And it's easy to be open if you're not in the right spot at the right time in that offense. So then it's completely irrelevant to the if you are open. And I feel like people ignored that or just didn't want to look at that when it came to the offense and Baker. They just wanted to blame Baker.
Yeah, that's definitely something about that. So, let's move on. Just finish up, about fantasy. So I see that you've been playing fantasy for 17 years. You know, I've been playing a very long time too. You see that you're not sure because you might, give up some redraft leads because I'm guessing you're getting in too many leads like I've done in the past. So,
yeah, I was in way too many leagues last year. I've cut back on dynasty leagues. I'm still in 17, but I've cut back doing a lot more best ball so I can just draft and forget it. And then redraft last year, I was probably in another 10 or 15 redraft leagues, and there's no way I can do that again. I will probably do my family league, Polly's playoff, and if I get in, Scott Fishbowl, and maybe one other.
Definitely, yeah. During when COVID first started, that's when I first found Sleeper.
Yeah,
and I started doing that, and then I So I went on there and started like kind of getting with friends in leagues, and then they just kept on inviting me and inviting me and inviting me. I would like never say no. So I've learned my lesson from that. So yeah, I totally get that. So let's dive into the free agency talk, kind of slash free agency slash all these trades. First of all, I was surprised by how many QB trades there've been. You know. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's because the lack of confidence in this QB class coming out or just teams wanting to win right away?
I saw this question on the show sheet and I still don't know how to answer it. I don't think it's a lack of confidence in the class. I still think there's probably four or five guys that can at least be their careers may not be what you would expect from a starting quarterback in the NFL, but I feel like they could at least be kind of journeyman, plug and play here and there, not even necessarily career backups, but probably a little bit higher tier of play than that. And I think that's probably their floor. I think there are some other guys in the class that could truly be NFL starters for years to come. It's just going to kind of end up relying on situation and what they land in and if the teams develop them like they're supposed to. Like we saw this past year with Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer as his head coach. That's terrible for a rookie quarterback. So if one of these quarterbacks goes to a similar situation, which I don't think there's any situation worse than that. They might be in trouble this year, but I think as teams realize, like coaching and investing in your quarterback and play calling, well, they've realized that, but like they're not going to make an Urban Meyer mistake again, or even potentially, oh, this feels bold, but like a Matt Rhule mistake because we haven't necessarily seen him pan out. they're going to make sure that they've got the right coach in place for their quarterbacks. And I think, I think Baker's an example of that too. So I don't think it's a lack of confidence in the class. I think it's truly kind of what you said, where it's teams are wanting to win now. And especially with the AFC West, like, they were making moves to compete with each other. And I think it was just an arms race. And part of that was Denver getting Russell Wilson. And that was kind of the first domino. And then there was Deshaun. And that's kind of been the second domino to free agency and all the different things that have happened. So, I think it's more of like what you said with the wanting to win now. And the AFC is so stacked. Like, they're having to make moves to compete with each other.
I was actually talking to someone about this earlier. So do you think, comparing Carson Wentz to Matt Ryan, do you think Carson Wentz is better than Matt Ryan and Matt Ryan's career right now? I think they're pretty similar.
I think they're pretty similar too.
I think Wentz is more mobile. Mm-hmm. I think Matt Ryan probably makes less of your, like, you're kidding me plays, like, yeah, Wentz does, you know? So,
come on, man.
Definitely, yes. So, but I was surprised that they moved on from Wentz, because I know he played bad in those last two games, especially that Jaguars game, which no one in Jacksonville thought that we were going to win. I got offered tickets to that game, and I said, no way. I was like, the Colts are going to beat us by 40. And I didn't even watch the game. I like look at the score. I'm like, whoa, what is going on? So, yeah, that's bad. But I thought Reich, would, because, Wentz was his guy. I thought they would, kind of go with it. But it seems like they were done after 1 year. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know with Matt Ryan, I don't know how that really helps them anymore. They're not any closer to getting a championship. They're like in that purgatory.
I'm trying to make this not sound like bias, but I think Baker would have been a better option for them. He's younger. He's got more upside and more youth left in him for his career. If he'd played out like I thought he was going to this year in Cleveland and Indy, then I feel like they would have had their franchise quarterback for the next few years. But with Ryan, it kind of feels like they're in the same spot or similar spot as they were with Philip Rivers. Now I don't know how live Matt Ryan's arm still is compared to Rivers. Was basically just a flopping noodle back there by the time he got there. Wentz, to me, I think the issue is he's just inconsistent. You never know if you're going to get MVP level Wentz or if you're going to get Wentz that threw a 10-yard lob interception in one game. So I think that's probably why they ended up moving on from Wentz. But I agree with you. I think it's a lateral move from Wentz to Ryan.
Yeah, definitely. And for them too, they're not like set, I don't think, to make a run for, a championship. They still have holes, like they're going to have to go get a wide receiver, because mm-hmm. they have Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor and just uh-huh. an offensive line. That's all they have.
And Paris Campbell, who's healthy for 4 games per year.
Oh, trust me. I've been on him ever since he got drafted, and every time I hype him up at the beginning of the season, because he like starts off, first quarter, he has like 5 catches and then like injured, out for the rest of the season. So I would think they're going to go get a wide receiver. So it's not like they can even get one of those quarterbacks, to kind of groom later on. So I think they're kind of in a boat, I think probably similar to maybe the Washington with Wentz. I mean, to get in the playoffs, but you don't really feel like they can. At least with Wentz, he's younger. If he gets it, he figures it out, I guess they could roll with him like 4 or 5 years, where Matt Ryan, he's nearing the end.
Yeah.
So, a lot of those cases were very, very weird to me. So now let's talk about free agency. We obviously had that hit, that huge trade today with Tyreek Hill, which I just didn't think it was going to happen. When I first saw it mentioned, I thought maybe they were trying to,
I don't know about you, but the speed in which it happened, it was like sleeper notification. It's Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs are have been having trouble with contract talks, so they've given him permission to a trade, and then it felt like maybe it was 2 hours, if that, and he's traded. It was like, what in the world?
Totally. I had a friend text me, and I thought at first it was just like the rumors.
Yeah.
And then I looked, and I was like, nope, he was traded. It was crazy. So let me ask you this. We'll attack this first. Do you think the Dolphins overpaid for Tyreek Hill?
No, I don't, because his speed is game-breaking speed. Like, I'm going to get on my soapbox here for a minute, Brandon.
Okay, go ahead.
I've seen a lot of Tua Tagovailoa slander on the timeline today, talking about how Tua can't throw it deep. He doesn't have the arm strength. The Dolphins don't have a quarterback, blah, 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 blah. First off, let's say he can't throw it deep, which is factually inaccurate, but let's say he can't throw it deep. You've got Jaylen Waddle and now Tyreek Hill, two of the fastest players in the game, if you ask me. What's another way that they can succeed, Brandon? By catching balls and getting yak. And both of those guys are phenomenal at that. So, like, people were talking about, like, well, why would you trade for Tyreek when you have a quarterback that can't throw the ball deep? Because Tua excels at slants and passes over the middle that are shorter. And that gives Tyreek the ball in space where, I don't know if you remember, Brandon, but in the AFC, I guess it was the divisional round, the touchdown where Tyreek scored was a route over the middle. He caught it and outran everybody. Tua is perfect for that. So I don't think that they overpaid for him. I think what they've done is invested in their weapons and in their line and are saying, Tua, if you can't make it work this year, then you're not our guy. And the reason that's the other part that's kind of baked into why I don't think they overpaid. They kept their two 2023 firsts. So they have their first and San Francisco's first next year in a much better quarterback class.
All right. I agree with some of your points.
Hit me.
I will say I didn't completely down to her. I don't think Tua's best thing is throwing the ball deep. I don't think he can't do it. Obviously, he's not going to do it like Mahomes did. You know, yeah, I think we can agree on that, but you're totally correct. When I watched games at with Tua at Alabama, they would always talk about Tua's best throw was the slant. So they're going to totally utilize that. What I think this really does, let's look at the fantasy wins. Helps Tua a lot. You know, it should help him. If he, like you said, if he can't do it, then, you know, he's done. Helps him. I think it kind of limits what Waddle and Tyreek probably would have done separately. Because I was really high on Waddle. So I kind of think Tyreek might be a back-end wide receiver one now, and Waddle's more a wide receiver two, unless we can see that Tua can support two wide receivers, you know, wide receiver one type numbers. I think it's a good team thing, and people keep on saying, like I was talking to a Dolphins fan earlier tonight, they're saying we gave up too many picks about the first pick. Well, the first pick was near the end of the first round, so technically that's pretty much a second-round pick.
Yeah.
And I think it's great, great for them. Now let's go on the other side real quick with Kansas City. How much do you think this affects Kansas City? It obviously affects them, but they can get more quality players not having to pay that contract. But we've seen they use Tyreek Hill and everything like that. How do you think it truly affects them?
Yeah. Before I answer that, I just want to make a comment on the Hill and the Waddle thing. I agree with you. I think Hill may drop from like a top three wide receiver to, like you said, a back end wide receiver one. I think Waddle could still probably sneak in there, because while I think his volume may go down, his efficiency should skyrocket because the field's going to open up that much more with Tyreek being there. And I think that, like, honestly, to me, that makes him a huge buy right now. Okay. Now to your other question about what it does for Kansas City. I'm not super worried because I believe in Patrick Mahomes. Dude is an alien. I mean, the Super Bowl where they lost to the Buccaneers, the dude was literally throwing balls while he was horizontal in the air. hitting people in the helmet, and they were just dropping everything. So I, with him being as talented as he is, I don't think it's going to matter as much who he's throwing to, because they did also get Juju. So for Juju stock, way up. For someone like Mecole Hardman, maybe a little bit of bump, but I also think I expect them to draft a wide receiver in the first round. I'd be shocked if they didn't. So that person, I think, will probably end up being their third target. And one thing, I don't know if they have, but I believe Darrell Williams and Jerick McKinnon were both free agents. I don't know if either of them is re-signed in Kansas City. If not right now, then with this trade, I do think that might help boost CEH's value as well. Possibly getting him more targets in the passing game, because you don't have that game-breaking speed from Tyreek on the short routes. Obviously, Kelsey is locked in as tight end one. I think Juju's probably back end wide receiver one, with maybe a little bit higher upside. And it'll just depend on what they do in the draft, which I expect them again to take a wide receiver.
I agree with a lot of that. And I think, as you're talking about, you know, some of the slander, I think the CEH slander has gone too far too. When he played, he looks good.
I knew I liked you.
He looks good, and he's had some freaky injuries, and just it's not his fault that they don't target him. It's not his fault that
it doesn't make sense to me, Brandon. Like,
I thought he was going to be like a Brian Westbrook in Philly with yeah. Andy Reid. It doesn't make it. Why would you draft a running back first? You know you're not going to be a power run team with Patrick Mahomes. So get him the ball. Just get him the ball.
Yeah. And the thing that doesn't make sense to me is like, and people are like, well, it's because they're better. And it's like, I really don't think they are. When we've seen CEH get volume in the rushing game and in the passing game, he's succeeded. So why do you not continue to do that? I don't understand it.
I totally agree. I do wonder too, because they did get Mecole Hardman when Tyreek had those, you know, legal issues. So he was supposed to be the replacement. So I don't know if they will try to just like plug him in there, you know, and run kind of as usual. Or, you know, I do wonder if they get like maybe a bigger wide receiver in the draft, maybe like a Drake London or something like that, to kind of have Kelsey, the big guy outside, you know, the fast guy, and then Juju across the middle. I actually think, don't get me wrong, Tyreek's really good, but we saw last year with the teams were starting to figure out that, you know, as long as you didn't let Tyreek take the top off and you just let Kelsey in front of you, but if they kind of have more weapons that Patrick Mahomes can just
and more versatility, go
wide, you know, it might actually work better. I'm not saying, you know, Tyreek's a great talent, but it might open up that offense more, because obviously it just wasn't working as well as, you know, parts last year. So very interesting about that. So we talked about the Dolphins. Let's move on to the Broncos. Main thing, getting Russell Wilson. I'm really interested on how this offense is going to go, because they got a new coach, Nathaniel Hackett. So we don't know what that offense is going to look like. You got those wide receivers. I have no idea who Russell is going to like better, but we've seen Russ, you know, he can make Lockett and DK be wide receiver, you know, one, or fringe wide receiver one and two. So he can do that. So what do you think the Broncos are going to really look like offensively this coming year?
Man, I'm really excited actually about this Broncos offense. But I don't know how to put it into words, because I could see like they have a lot of talent in their receiving room and with Javonte Williams as well. So like I could see someone like KJ Hamler coming out of nowhere and being Russ's favorite target. But we've also,
I would love that, because I have a huge, like, ever since KJ Hamler came out of college, I was so disappointed when he went to Denver, because I was like, they can't support him. Like, they can't support all those guys. I was like, oh. But I would love that. I just had to mention I love KJ Hamler.
I think they can now, though, because they haven't had the quarterback. Even so, Peyton Manning's my favorite player ever. even the last year of Peyton, which I don't know, I don't think any of these guys were on the roster at that point. That defense carried them to the Super Bowl win. Like I am man enough to admit that, even though it makes my favorite player look a little bad, but that defense carried them to the Super Bowl. Point being, though, is they haven't had a quarterback since that's been worth even half a lick of salt. Okay. So now they've got Russ, who we know can lead an offense to a Super Bowl. And they've got a championship caliber defense. So what I really want to see is let them let Russ cook. Now that may piss off some Javonte Williams people because I don't know how much they're going to run the ball if they truly let Russ cook. But even if they do, Javonte Williams is probably the best running back that Wilson has had, not named Marshawn Lynch. And Lynch was a different style running back. Like Williams, I know, can receive the ball out of the backfield. All that being said, I think all Wilson does from a fantasy perspective is absolutely skyrocket the values of all of his receivers. And that includes Tim Patrick and KJ Hamler. Like Sutton, I think will be much, much better than what we've seen in the past. I think Jerry Jeudy, if he can stay healthy, could easily be his best season by a long shot. I think both of those guys could end up as wide receiver ones or wide receiver twos, like high-end wide receiver twos. And then Hamler, I think, could easily slot in as a wide receiver three or Patrick. But I think Hamler is going to fit that Lockett role a little bit better than anyone on the team right now. And that will – Russ will like that. So
I think Hamler would be perfect in best ball leagues.
Yep.
Because, you know, he's going to have those, like you said, Tyler Lockett games.
Yep.
You're probably not going to be able to count on him to get those, you know, consistent games. But, yeah, best ball. So, you know, let's see. The Raiders, they obviously brought in Davante Adams. So let's just briefly talk about them. Obviously, you know, big move, you know, to reunite him with Derek Carr.
Yep.
Get them to that big receiver. So now they have, you know, Davante Adams. They have Waller and, you know, obviously a Hunter Renfrow, you know, across the middle. So, you know, there's only so many passes that can go around. So what do you think the, like, hierarchy on that really is going to be? Adams, Waller, and then Renfrow?
It should very easily be that order. Don't get me wrong. Darren Waller is a top five or six tight end easily, but Davante Adams is one of the best route runners in the league and creates so much separation through his route running, especially with his release off the line, that he's going to be Derek Carr's best friend again, like they were at Fresno State. And I could very, very easily see them having, I won't say Devontae's best year because I think that was 2 years ago in 2020. But it could very easily be Carr's best year by a long shot.
I'm very interested because at first, you know, when McDaniels got hired, I was pretty high still on Renfrow, even if they bring in someone, because he's always used a slot guy. But
yeah,
but in those Patriots offenses, at least since Randy Moss, which, you know, was a long time ago, they haven't had a wide receiver outside like Davante Adams. So
yeah,
I really have no idea, you know, how that's really going to, you know, go with and everything. So, that's very, very interesting. And I think it's definitely Derek Carr's value goes up. I think he's another one that slander on him. You know, I think he's a very good quarterback also.
Yeah, no, I agree. And he's actually similar to Tua, where he's actually one of the most accurate deep ball throwers in the NFL. But he just doesn't do it a whole lot. So right. I feel like people kind of discount him on that, but he's one of the best.
And I saw also, speaking of winners, you added to the sheet about the Colts and Lions being minor winners. So I just wanted to give you a chance to kind of just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I think with the Colts adding Matt Ryan, while we did talk about it earlier being a more lateral move, I think it makes them a winner because after the Wentz trade, their starting quarterback would have been Sam Ellinger. which yikes. So adding Ryan in, I think like we talked about earlier, I don't want to beat it too much, but I think it makes him a playoff team. The rest of the moves, it'll depend on what they do to really get them in. And then I had the Lions as a minor winner. I don't remember who all they signed, but the one that I wanted to focus on was DJ Chark. I like Amon-Ra St. Brown. I won't say as much as like the next guy, but I like him a lot. I think DJ Chark actually helps him. I think he's a complimentary piece to Amon-Ra St. Brown. I still think the Lions will also bring in another wide receiver. But Chark gives them a young, fast, big wide receiver that can play that X role and really kind of open up the field for the rest of the offense. So if they get one more weapon and even an upgrade at QB, because I'm not sold on Jared Goff, I really think this team can probably end up surprising some people this year, even if they don't upgrade quarterback and they still ride with Goff for this year. I think they can probably end up surprising a couple teams just because Dan Campbell's a damn good coach, and this team is being built in a way to complement each other and succeed, I think. So those are my thoughts on the Lions.
Yeah, I agree on the Lions. They haven't made like blockbuster moves, but they've made small moves. I actually really like DJ Chark. He was in Jacksonville. I really thought they were going to bring him back. I'm actually sad that they didn't. I don't want to even talk about the Jaguars because I just don't want to. But he makes really great plays. He hasn't played with great quarterbacks. And I know, especially last year, or actually maybe in 2 years ago, when you're open so many times and you get so many shitty passes, like all the wide receivers just like quit. And I think it helps the Lions too in what you're saying. I think they will get a wide receiver, but now that they have Chark and, you know, St. Brown and Swift and Hawkinson, they don't have to draft a wide receiver as high.
Early. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. So, yeah, you wanted to throw it back to the Raiders?
Yeah, so you made me think when you brought up you didn't know how the slot receiver role played out in McDaniel's offense the year that Randy Moss was there with the Patriots. So I went and looked it up real quick. And in 2007, Wes Welker was still there. He was 26. He had 145 targets, and Randy Moss had 160. Welker actually had 112 catches. Moss had 98. Welker had 1,175 yards. Moss had 1,493. Welker had 8 touchdowns. Moss had 23 touchdowns. So reason I bring that up is I think, kind of to your point, this team this offense can support two very productive wide receivers. And it can be, now here's the problem. Their tight end, I think, was Ben Watson. And at that point, he was 27. He also only played 12 games. So could they support Waller, Renfrow, and Adams? I don't know. But I think it'll be a very good offense still to watch.
No, I tend to agree. I think Adams is still where he would, you know, even maybe a spot or two lower since he doesn't have Rodgers, but he's still up there, top five. I think Renfrow probably might take a couple of steps back. I think Waller will probably take the biggest hit because, you know, he's kind of thought of as that top three tight end. And with sharing all those targets, he might be like top eight. So kind of with, you know, I agree with that. I'm glad you brought that up because I totally forgot Wes Welker was on that team.
Yeah. No, and that's why I looked it up because I was like, I can't remember if Welker was there or if Edelman was there, and kind of what was going on. So I had to go look it up. So
yeah. So now let's go to, we can just briefly talk about some of the losers, some of the team. We already talked about the Chiefs, about that. Packers, obviously, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, I don't understand what happened. Like, you bring back Rodgers, and I haven't seen Rodgers be pissed about this.
From what I've seen as a Packers fan, Rodgers knew that Adams was probably on his way out and still signed the contract. So I don't know what all that means. Maybe they presented a plan to him where they're like, we're going to spend, because I think now they have two firsts. We're going to spend both firsts on wide receivers for the first time in 27 years. And the reason I say that is because I'm 27 years old and I don't remember the last time they drafted a wide receiver in the first round.
Right.
So maybe they've actually come up with a plan and said, hey, this is what we're going to do. Even if Adams walks, we're going to put you in a place to succeed. You're Aaron bleeping Rodgers. You've done more with less. Brady's done more with less. You always want to compare yourself to Brady. So go out there and get it, big boy. But yeah, I completely agree with you. I have no idea what they're doing. They signed Devondre Campbell back, which is nice, but there's part of me that's like, was it a flash in the pan year? Like, because in fantasy, I think he ended up as like linebacker 5 or linebacker 6, but then looking back at his stats, it was his best year by a pretty good margin. Like, he had one other pretty decent year. And then other than that, it wasn't anything spectacular. So I'm a little concerned about that. They re-signed Preston Smith, which is great, but obviously Za'Darius Smith left too, and went to the freaking Vikings. So it's like, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? But
yeah, I mean, obviously they still have Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon, but are you really going to make an Aaron Rodgers-led team a run-first team? Like, yeah, that much of a run-first? I know, yeah, they kind of do that, but, like, that much? Yeah, I saw some mocks where they took a couple wide receivers in the first round, and the ones I saw where they got Chris Olave and Jahan Dotson, which I love both of those players. I love both of those players. I mean, you're still putting two rookie wide receivers out there. I mean, yeah. – And you know how Rodgers gets pissed at wide receivers when they make mistakes. So, like, I mean, those are two that are probably on like the better end of like running good routes and everything. But still, yeah, that surprised me. So no idea with that, which is a little troublesome because I have Aaron Rodgers in some dynasty leagues where, yeah, like, I'm all in to win now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, because you can't really get rid of him for anything now. You kind of just got to roll.
His age is so – it's frustrating because, like, his talent is here, but his age puts him down here from a dynasty perspective. It makes it – he's one of those guys, like, if you've got him on your roster, you just got to ride him out.
Definitely. So, Seahawks, I don't know what they're doing either. I mean, they have tons of draft picks. I hear that they're trying to get rid of they might be trading the wide receivers.
Yeah.
At least lock it. And it just – I don't understand what they're doing just because Pete Carroll's not young. I mean, if they're going to go rebuild, they should have got a new coach. Yep. So at first I thought they might keep that and just like go maybe go get Deshaun or something. So I don't want to spend too much time on the Seahawks because I don't know what they're doing, but they were definitely a loser.
Yeah.
Falcons, we're going to talk about, you know, when rookie landing spots, but I am happy that Mariota is there because in some leagues I have only like one like starting quarterback. I have Mariota. So I was like, at least I have two starting quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So well, at least, you know.
I saw a tweet where like the last 3 years, might have been even 5 years, like Matt Ryan, I think, totaled like 300 rushing yards and like 4 touchdowns rushing. And someone tweeted, Mariota could probably pass that in like 4 weeks.
Definitely. So I still, they're going to be bad. The Falcons are going to be bad because I would think they don't think Mariota is the future necessarily.
I hope not.
So, I mean, you would think that in the first round they have to draft a quarterback. Well, look at what that quarterback's coming into, Kyle Pitts. That's all they have.
Yeah.
So, and they lost Russell Gage. So yeah. that they are in. If I was them, they just need to draft a ton of receivers, just like throughout the draft. So that's a you know. Oh, and you brought up the Cowboys, and that is true. I do wonder because they lost Amari Cooper,
Lyle Collins.
They lost Cedric Wilson.
He's
a nice player.
I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. Connor Williams. Like, it just feels like they lost a bunch of people, either had to cut a bunch of people or trade a bunch of people, obviously, to get under the cap number because of Zeke's contract. And they're kind of just left sitting there doing nothing. And their only big signing that was not a re-signing was James Washington, which I don't hate, but I feel like he's on the level of Cedric Wilson.
I forgot they got him. But yeah, to that point, because we don't, you know, we don't know when Gallup's going to be back. So it's pretty much you've got CD and
Schultz.
So, and you saw, you know, Dak didn't necessarily light it up all last year. Maybe some of that was coming back from the injury. Maybe he can do that. But, and we've seen, I'm not as down on Zeke as a lot of people, but he's definitely he's definitely not the same guy. But I don't think he's dead like people are saying he is.
No.
He's definitely a volume guy.
He was still RB7, I think, last year.
Yeah.
He's still, I think he averaged 17 points per game. Now, I know, like, it was diminished and kind of spread out, but still, like, give me Zeke. And especially where you can, like, his ADP, I feel like, is just plummeting. Like, wherever you can get him from an ADP standpoint, take him.
Because he's definitely right in redraft this year. He's probably going to fall, like, hard. And you can probably get him in a good spot, and he's going to help you a lot. So some of the losers. So, just to wrap up free agency, then I wanted to say, you know, with what all is happening with trades and free agencies, what are some rookie landing spots that we're wanting to happen before the draft next month?
Yeah.
So what are some for you?
I saw what you put on the show sheet, and then I made a comment under it. And this has been my mantra for the Packers for, I think, 3 years now, maybe just two. Please, for the love of God, let the Packers draft a wide receiver in the first round. At least one, because I think they have two first-round picks. But it was 2020. They had shots at everybody. They could have drafted Justin Jefferson. They could have drafted CeeDee Lamb, technically. They could have drafted T. Higgins, and I would have been in love. Could have drafted Chase Claypool. They went literally seven rounds, Brandon, in 2020 without drafting a wide receiver. And then they went the first two rounds in 2021 and didn't draft a wide receiver. Finally took one in the third round by trading up to get Amari Rodgers. So, Brian Gutekunst, I know you're not listening to this podcast because you're probably doing draft prep, but for the love of God, draft a wide receiver. If you don't, I have family in Green, near enough to Green Bay. Someone will find you. Okay, so that's my spiel on the Packers. I want a running back to land in Houston. If it's one of the top three guys, whether that's Hall, Spiller, or Kenneth Walker, I think their stock could go to the moon because that's like Houston is still depleted of a lot of assets right now, especially with the Deshaun trade. They've got a lot of draft capital now, I believe, to really go and kind of boost that their team. But they have holes everywhere on both sides of the ball. So if a running back were to land there, I feel like just because the desert of talent that is there, his stock is going to go to the moon and realistically could probably end up as an RB2 pretty easy just based off of volume.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
And then my last 2 points, one was very player specific. I want Brian Robinson to go to the Chargers or the Dolphins. And the reason for that is I feel like he would pair. I feel like he's going to be your 1-2 down back. That's kind of your plotter, your maybe even your goal line back, which I know we don't see a ton of anymore. But I feel like he would pair really, really well with Austin Eckler. Or even with Chase Edmonds, because I think Chase Edmonds is a very good receiving back, but I don't know if he can carry the load of three downs. So those are two spots I'd love to see Brian Robinson land. And then my last one is the Lions taking a quarterback. I actually joked last offseason that they were going to take Sam Howell with the 101. Now I'm going to change that up a little bit and say they take Sam Howell with the 132 because they have the last pick of the first round. And I think, to me, Howell is my QB1 right now. It's probably pretty close between him and Willis, and draft capital will probably end up changing that. I just love Sam Howell. So I'd really love to see him go to the Lions where, like we talked about earlier, they've got a great offensive line built. They've got some weapons in Chark, ARSB, Hockenson, and Swift, and they'll probably add another wide receiver at some point in the draft. If they get a young quarterback who they can build around and they've already got all the weapons, again, this team is coached very well by Dan Campbell. They could sneak up on some people this year. And if, again, if they develop that quarterback next year, whoo, look out. Look out, Green Bay.
I actually like that because I like Sam Howell a lot too. And I think he kind of embodies what Dan Campbell likes too, because you know that toughness.
Yeah.
Because you saw this year he would run. He, for the love of God, he needs to slide sometimes though, because he can't be taking long linebackers like he was against like Wake Forest, you know.
Yeah.
But I like his toughness, and I like that a lot. I don't think they should. I know a lot of people want them to take Willis, you know, at two. I think they should take it at like one of the quarterbacks at the back end of the first.
Yeah.
And they could build, you know, that spot. So I agree with that. And I did put, we kind of talked about this, but I said on the sheet, any offense to the Falcons, LOL.
Yeah.
And you said, yes, please. Yeah. They need anything. Speaking of the Falcons, I would actually like if one of those running backs went to the Falcons.
Yep.
Me too. Because they need to read options with Mariota and like Breece Hall. Yeah. Yes, give me all that and give me,
yeah,
you know, because they can just pass the ball to Breece Hall. So a lot of
Cordarrelle Patterson ain't getting any younger. Like, yeah, he's fun, but he ain't getting any younger. I think he's 31.
So definitely. Yeah. And I know a lot of people have been putting out, you know, for the Chiefs getting, you know, someone like Jameson Williams, you know, that would be good because they can probably let him, you know, recover from his injury and then kind of maybe have him for the playoff run.
Yeah.
So that's good. So we'll end the show on something really fun. We're going to talk about chicken wings.
Love it.
Chicken wings. You know, I love wings during football, but especially during March Madness and basketball. I love to go to the sports bar and eat some wings and watch some basketball. So we're going to talk about our favorite restaurant to get wings, and then our top three wing flavors. So first, you tell me what your favorite restaurant is.
Okay, so I don't know if this is a chain. I think it is, but I don't really care. But it's Wild Wing Cafe. It's here in Greenville. And the main reason that it's actually my favorite is not just because of the wings, but they have actually collabed with Wicked Weed Cafe, or Wicked Weed Brewing, sorry. And they have a beer called the Wicked Chicken that's a fruitier wheat ale, and it is the bomb. Like, it is, I get it every time we go because it is so good. And I've been trying since we moved to Greenville a little over a year ago to get a growler full of it so I can bring it home with me, but they don't have it. So, or they don't have growler caps to be able to actually take it home. So, Wild Wing Cafe here in Greenville.
So, yes, that is a chain because we have those in Jacksonville. And have you been to the Wild Wing Cafe in Savannah, Georgia?
No.
So I used to go there for like St. Patrick's Day weekend, you know, they and everything. And there's this two-story Wild Wing Cafe that's like in the center. So we would get there like when like the conference tournaments were starting or sometimes in the March Madness. So we would spend like the first 2 days just up there. They have a huge like block party and everything. It's like,
that's
cool. It was awesome. They have bands and everything. So I definitely love that. I don't know if you have one of these around you. I actually have two. One is a kind of a hole in the wall kind of restaurant. It's called Wing It. It's by my parents' house. It's terrible service. It looks horrible, but the wings are so good. And this one's a chain, at least I think in the South. I don't know if you, it's called Island Wings. Do you have that around you?
No, I haven't heard of that one.
So they bake their wings. So I was a little skeptical at first, but they're still crispy and good, and they have really good flavors. So they're really good. And this was really hard for me to get down to three flavors. So we'll go back and forth. You start with your third flavor.
Third flavor. Okay. I don't remember.
I guess you don't have to do any order. It doesn't matter.
No, I'll start with the third one. So it's actually Colorado Coppers from Wild Wing Cafe. It's a kind of honey barbecue, kind of honey mustard, honey barbecue flavor. It's really, really good, really sweet. And that's kind of what I like going for those. If I don't get traditional like buffalo sauce, like I want a sweeter one.
That's funny. My third is kind of, don't remember the exact name of it, but it's at Hurricane Wings. It's got like honey mustard and like a spice to it. So it's probably very similar, but it has a little kick to it. So yeah, that's my third one.
Awesome. So my second one, and this one I didn't know if I was going to like, but the very first time we went to Wild Wing Cafe, we tried it, and it's called Smoky Bandit. It's actually a dry rub, and it is delicious. Like Smoky Bandit, like truly kind of encompasses, like it's, you get all the smoke kind of like a, like if you smoked the wings on a, in a smoker, in that dry rub, and it is very, very good. And there was a time where, because of COVID, there was actually a wing shortage. Don't know if people knew that, but there was a wing shortage. And so we couldn't actually get Smoky Bandit because the wings were so small that they were like, it wasn't good. So wings have their shortage is fixed, and now I can get Smoky Bandit again, and I'm happy.
Around you, are the price of wings really like up there?
They went up for a little while, but I haven't been paying attention, to be honest.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. I mean, even if the cost of wings goes up, I'm still going to buy chicken wings, you know, when I go out, because they're delicious. So my second is, I guess, a little bit of a cheat, but like pretty much any of the type of Asian type sauce, like anything like ginger or, you know, anything like, you know, teriyaki and ginger, there's this Korean type sauce one place. So that's number two for me.
Cool. So great transition. Great segue. That was perfect. Because my first one is actually Asian Zing from Buffalo Wild Wings. That is always one of my favorites. It's got a great combination of sweet and spicy. I absolutely love it. Anytime I go to Buffalo Wild Wings, I always get that.
I didn't want to take your thunder because I was going to say like Asian Zing too at Buffalo Wild Wings, but I was going to let you say it first before I mentioned it.
Yeah.
So yeah. So, you know, I love buffalo sauce, but there's at that Island Wings place, there's a triple garlic buffalo flavor. It is absolutely delicious, and I always get that flavor.
Nice. So I've got an honorable mention. There is a barbecue joint that is native to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and they are – all over Alabama now. There's actually two locations in South Carolina. They've spread out a lot, but their two main states that they started in were Alabama and Colorado. It's called Moe's Barbecue. They do smoked wings with a little bit of, I think it's buffalo sauce, I'm assuming. Amazing. Like, they are the bomb. So if you have a Moe's Barbecue anywhere near you, go there, get the wing platter. It comes with like a combination. I think it's a combination of like their white barbecue sauce and ranch. Oh, it's so good. So, so good. So that's my honorable mention, is their wings. And one of my favorite places to get wings.
All right. Oh, I've been to Tuscaloosa a few times and I haven't gone there. So I'm going to have to check that out next time I go there.
I'm sorry. That's delicious. You've been to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that are Alabama fans. Actually, game day, that's fun, but yeah, the city isn't, you know, place you normally want to go to.
War Eagle.
Oh, so you're an Auburn fan.
Yeah.
Okay. I have some friends that are Auburn fans too, so.
Good.
Yeah, so that wraps up the show. Shane, thank you for talking all this free agency. It was so much fun talking football with you, and I see we had a lot of similarities in what we like, and, you know, a little bit of a difference. I didn't know that there were any Baker Mayfield fans anymore, so that's good to know. That there's still,
it's basically still me and Nate Polvote, and that's about it.
And his wife.
Yeah.
So that's the show for this week, and thanks, everyone, for watching.
Thanks for having me.